All right, well, stop me if you've heard this before. Stop.
I see what you did.
The Toronto Blue Jays. Mr. Barker's Blue Jays losing 6-5 to the Boston Red Sox in 10 innings tonight at the Rogers Center. Hope you enjoyed your hot dog. Hot dogs. This is Blue Jays Talk with Blair and Barker.
What's wrong with you?
Well, I mean, hot dogs are a big deal, man. The Jays are now 73-85. And wow. Kevin Barker, the season can end soon enough. We've talked about that for a while now. The numbers to call, as always, 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. And on a night where we saw more bullpen arson from the Blue Jays relievers, my question to you, dear listeners, name me two members of this bullpen you want back next year. If you can come up with two. Two you want back next year. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Now I understand that I'm sure three of them will be back. I'm not asking who you think will come back. I'm asking who you would like to come back. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590, 590-590 is the text line. Help a brother out here. Kevin, we can start with, the bullpen issues. You know, this is goes back to Jimmy Garcia's injury. I mean, they might as well just, play. You know what? Just play Blue Jays Talk from about 3 weeks ago, because it's probably the same damn game, just with the names changed. Probably the same damn result. Probably the same guys coming in and torching the lead. But I mean, again, Kevin, all kidding aside, I watched the Red Sox bullpen. A couple of guys I'd never heard of before, including the guy who closed out the game. And they're guys that throw in 97, 98. And you watch the Jays guys, you watch their relievers, and it really is like batting practice fastballs for a lot of these guys. I don't know where to go other than that, because the bullpen lost the game tonight, and the defense lost the game. And one of the things, you know, we've kind of been talking about how much fun this team has been lately, or more fun, I guess, than the dross we were watching earlier this year. But, you know, Spencer Horwitz has to make that play. Alejandro Kirk, he's been pretty good. That play should be made. Ernie Clement should have made a couple of plays, at least one of them. There were plays not made. My question to you is, when you watch a game like this, like, do you read anything more into this type of particularly bad defensive game than you would just a normal game? Or are we at the point where these guys have played a lot of baseball right now, and maybe it's the wear and tear is starting to show?
Green and Cabrera is my answer. If I'm a listener, can I be a listener?
That's my two guys.
That's my two guys. I don't know what the answer to your question is. Like, when you get a pop up in the big leagues, catch it. There's not really an excuse for that. I mean, Kirky, I think, I don't want to say got a little lazy, but you could tell, you know, he was lackadaisical on getting it and being firm with it and getting under it and really attacking the ball and squeezing the glove and that thing and trying to one-hand it. And, you know, quite frankly, maybe the second baseman should have ran over when they're seeing Horowitz playing circles around the baseball. Run over, call him off, right? I mean, it's an easier play for the second baseman when the ball's tailing towards the infield instead of, away from the infield. So it's just a harder play.
You know what else? You could tell by watching George Springer's reaction. You could tell that he knew that Horwitz had lost the ball or was not going to track it down. You could tell how fast he got in.
I'm not making excuses for him. He should catch the ball. Most of the time when it goes up, you should make a better attempt to catch the baseball. But that, again, gets back to, you know, when your second baseman sees that, he needs to be more aggressive, come over and call the guy off. You know, there was some positives. I mean, again, Bowden Francis, really good. Strike one's 12 of 17. You know, it is amazing when you're not guaranteed anything, how you sort of do everything that you're supposed to do on a baseball field, controlling the running game, right? I mean, you would think almost watching the Blue Jays all year, that's a lost art. Not with Bowden. I mean, again, you can just tell sort of the attention to every single thing according to what's going on in the game. Bowden's doing it, right? I mean, other than the 2-0 fastball that he threw right down the middle, the double, I mean, that's basically what the doctor ordered, right? Just don't throw it down the middle, live on the edges, change speeds, attack early, and, you know, don't nibble with the heater. I mean, the elevated fastball is really good for him. You know, I'd love to see the consistent velocity on the fastball. It's a little erratic. It's a little all over the place. And that may have something to do with how many pitches he's thrown and, you know, how the heart rate's had to go up because of the pitches that he's been trying to throw, throwing the no-hitters and that kind of thing. But I think in the offseason when we heard him talk about his velocity, I'm sure that's what he's trying to talk about, right? When he throws one and then he throws 40 more of them, all 40 need to be the same velocity. So I'm sure that's something to work on. But he was really good. And then you said it right. I mean, it just keeps showing every time we watch a baseball game with the Blue Jays, side popping, right? It's the lack of being able to attack fastballs offensively. And quite frankly, the guys coming out of the pen ain't real good. So, you know, whenever that happens, most of the time you lose baseball games. It's just the thing, right? It's the 5 in a row. It's the 20-31 in the American League East. It's, what did you say, 73 wins?
73-85.
That's a lot, man. I mean, it's, you know, just think if you lose the next four games, right? It's, you could go 73-89, Jeff. Like, losing seasons is losing season, but when is a losing season ain't a losing season anymore? When you're 73-89 and you spent $235 million on a season? I don't know. I mean, it's just, this is sort of where they're at.
This will be the third year in a row that they've lost fewer games in the regular season. You know, I mean, people forget that last year they lost more games in the regular season than they lost the year before. Like, there's not – I hate to say this. I don't. It's true. There haven't been any steps forward in the last 3 years to this team. There haven't been any steps forward. I mean, they're farther behind now than they've – I would say they might be farther behind now than they've been since what, 2019, 2018, yeah. Maybe? It just feels like that. And I'll tell you what, this is the most dead ass Blue Jays team I've seen since back then. I mean, they're dead ass.
Well, you've been saying this for a while. That's what a bad bullpen will make it look like.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
It
sucks the life out of you.
Yeah. It's not like the everyday guys are not trying, especially the young guys, right? They're trying to compete. They're trying to show what they got. It's just when you hand the ball to a bullpen arm and you're up three runs, you should think most of the time that game should be over. I mean, without Devers, let's be honest, it ain't like the Red Sox are running out a bunch of dudes there that, you know, just terrify you, right? I mean, that's sort of the thing, too. And I mentioned this to you during the game was, man, how does that lineup look without Devers in it? And this just gets back to you, whenever you see the camera panning over to the dugout and you see Pete Walker and John Schneider, it's just, I mean, their facial expressions just sort of say 1,000 words. And
yeah.
You know, I think their patience has ran out. Like, they've gone to every guy they tried to go to, and, you know, there's some pride there. Like, they want to end this thing the way it's supposed to be ended, right? They don't want it to look the way it's been looking, you know, every time they lose a baseball game. So, again, hopefully you just hope that the front office sees what we're seeing, you know, can make some adjustments, hold players accountable, be better next year.
Ian in Ridgeville, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to make a comment about John Schneider and his decisions with the bullpen tonight. Francis pitched a really good game. I was at the game. He pitched a really strong game. But then when you bring Chad Green in the eighth inning, that limits your options for extra innings if it went that far, which it did, obviously. And I just wanted to make the comment about how why is John Schneider bringing in Tommy Nance in extra innings in a game where, yeah, sure, you don't need to win, but your bullpen's been really struggling lately. And then the fact that he was going to bring in Brendan Little, who has not had a great success rate recently, for the 11th inning, if it had gone that far. So Yeah, that's one point. And the second thing is I just want to thank you guys for all the work you've done this season, all the Blue Jays talks and your show. I listen to you guys every day. So thank you guys.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah. I appreciate it. Thanks. I'm almost at the point where I think John Schneider and Pete Walker are in, what would you call it, mode. They're in crisis mode. I don't even think about their decisions to the relievers they use because I just assume that they're kind of, at this point in the season, they're kind of working with whatever they have. I'll say this. The Jays should not have needed extra innings in this game.
No. The Green coming in the eighth inning is an easy one. You're trying to, or the, it was the ninth inning, right, when he came in.
Yes.
That's an easy one. You're trying to get it to, you're part of the lineup that can walk it off. You don't feel confident in Nance. You're hoping that you're part of the lineup. I think Vladdy was coming up. That's, you know, he walked in the ninth inning before Ernie hit into the double play, I believe it was. That's sort of, I think, what they're trying to do is you're trying to give your lineup a chance to walk it off because of where you're at in the lineup. And then once you get to the 10th inning, you're just bringing in whoever's left. I mean, that's basically what it is. Nance has been good with the breaking ball. It's just, I think that's sort of where it's at, right, is people seeing Nance come into the game and the Burrs and, you know, I guess you could throw a little bit of Cabrera. I like Cabrera because he's left-handed and how hard he throws as long as he's in the right pocket. And he should never be on a contending team in the eighth and ninth inning. And hopefully going into next year when they solidify what the innings that they're supposed to solidify, that'll be taken care of. But I'm with Jeff. It's hard to sit here and because of the way the pen is and pick and yell and scream about what's going on and the decisions are made. But I'm assuming that's what they're trying to do, Jeff, is get it to the lineup and hopefully let them walk it off.
Yeah, I think that's, I think that's probably what Pete and John were thinking about. But, I don't know what to say. I mean, if I had my choice, I'm with you. I would take Cabrera back. I would take Green back. I don't want him in hugely responsible roles, though. I certainly don't want Chad Green closing. I don't care if he comes up with a split finger pitch or five other pitches. I just don't think he can. I don't think he's a closer. I just don't think he's good enough. It's that simple. If anybody out there can look me in the eye, well, you can't because I'm on the radio. But if there's anybody out there who seriously believes that a contending team can run Chad Green out and that Chad Green is going to give you 30 saves on a championship team, yeah, give us a call. Because I'm sorry, I'm just not buying that. I absolutely am not buying that. Chad Green's got a spot in my bullpen, but it sure as hell isn't in the ninth inning, and it may not even be in the eighth inning.
Yeah, I like his stuff. I don't like him in a ninth inning. I think it takes a different animal when it comes to the ninth inning. But yeah, I think it's I think that's what they got. They got a bunch of sixth and seventh inning guys, and they're trying to. You know, because of where they're at, what they're trying to do to end the season, that's where they're sort of at. So it is what it is.
Ryan in Innisfil, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, fellas. First, kind of want to shadow off what the last fella said. I want to thank you boys for doing this all year, all your hard work, and thanks for letting folks like me come on and just sort of spew my nonsense at you.
We appreciate it, man. It's the callers that make the show, so it's always good to hear from you.
And your charming banter. Come on now. And so basically what else I'm going to kind of lean into here, I'll start off with your question. You started with the beginning of the show. I would also like to see Cabrera and Green back. I wouldn't mind seeing Swanson back. I really think that kind of what happened in the spring training and sort of how his start of this season unfolded has a lot to do with what his performance this year. I'd love to see sort of like a Cabrera in the seventh, maybe Swanson in the seventh, Cabrera in the sixth, and a Green in the eighth, and hopefully a closer that can throw under the 92. And then I think we got a decent little bullpen put together. My second sort of thing I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about is I need someone smarter than me to explain to me why Bowden Francis got taken out of the baseball game today.
You need someone smarter than you to explain that, and you call Blue Jays Talk?
Hey, man, I never claimed to be smart, so I need some help. Bowden Francis, 77 pitches into an absolute masterclass through five innings. if it's hard to make decisions on your bullpen, don't make a decision. Send your starter, who is absolutely carving, back into the game. His next starts in 360 days. Like, what are we saving him for? Like, let the man pitch. He's finally getting comfortable in a position. He's finally getting into his element. Absolutely carving against a team that is trying to make the playoffs. Let him get that experience. Why don't we let him continue? We are 20th in innings pitched this season. Only three teams below us are in a playoff spot. Just about 70 to 80% of the teams above us are in a playoff spot. Maybe if we let our pitchers actually play baseball and continue to pitch in the excellent manner that they pitch in, we wouldn't have to worry about this bullpen so much. And then to the bullpen, we are dead last in one-run games won this year. We suck in them. Why are you giving the bullpen tries? Why? Yeah. Why are you giving them a chance? Our starting pitching has been carving this year. They're awesome. Even when they're, like, decent. Like, let him pitch an extra inning. The guy's at 60 pitches. What is this? I understand we pay them lots of money and they are an investment, but they're also a human being and a baseball player. Let them play the game, man. I'm quite tired of this. I'm tired of it. And I know this John Schneider fellow is a great dude and everything, but I really don't trust him anymore. He's a great development coach. Put him back down with the team below us. Let him do what he does down there because he's not ready for this.
Ryan, I appreciate the call, Kevin. I mean, I wasn't, again, knowing the date, knowing that there was nothing at stake in the game, I didn't throw something at the TV set when John took Bowden Francis out. I'm sure they've got, you know, I'm sure they've got all sort of analytics out there about, you know, innings pitched and number of pitches and all that. I personally would like to have seen him. I would like to have seen him go another inning or two. This is the last start of the year.
Yeah. I can understand the caller's frustration, but I mean, if you look big picture, how important getting off to a good start next year is, the heavy lifting that they have to do. And, you know, they sort of found something that they didn't think, I think, they were going to find. And the most innings he'd thrown at the big league level was last year at 36 and a third. He's at 108 and two thirds or 103 mm-hmm. and two thirds. So that's a lot of innings. And, you know, what he's had to do trying to throw the no innings, the pitches that he's had to throw, and the 73 wins, it's not his fault that the bullpen stinks.
Yeah.
I think guys got to remember that when you're watching these games. And I understand everybody wants to win and it's more fun. And, you know, the new shiny penny that was fun 3.5 weeks ago ain't fun no more because they're losing that much. I just think you got to look at big picture. You got to look going into next season. And I think Bowden's a big part of that. And you want to try and protect it. You don't want to abuse it. And there is no, I think, perfect blueprint on how to do this. But I ain't going to argue because of where they're at, yeah. The wins they got, and what Bowden means to them going into next season because of what they have to do offensively and in the pen.
416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. The Blue Jays have lost 6-5 to the Boston Red Sox in 10 innings. Their second loss in as many games against the Red Sox, 5 in a row. They'll wrap up the series tomorrow, and then there's 3 games left in the regular season against the Miami Marlins. We'll take a break. Hear from the skipper, John Schneider, and go back to the phone lines. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. All right, welcome back to Blue Jays Talk. 6-5, Barker's Blue Jays losing to the Boston Red Sox in 10 innings. Well, they made it slightly entertaining, at least. Bases loaded, down by a run. Addison Barger... lining out to end the game. Shouldn't have been entertaining.
Line out's a bit strong.
Okay. He hit a ball at third base.
A lollipop. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Don't lie to the people.
Okay. It wasn't a liner. Okay. It was a soft liner. Soft liner.
Yeah. I mean, it had a hump in it.
Real soft liner. Humpback liner.
He got jammed on a heater. Like, yeah. I mean.
Truth is, I didn't see it because I was down here in the basement doing the show and I was talking to Barker and listening to the game on the radio. So.
Yeah,
there you go.
Tell the truth to the people. They deserve-
I am telling the truth. Hey, we got an answer from John Schneider as to why Bowden Francis was taken out of the game.
Yeah, wanted to kind of monitor his innings. Thought he was really good again. Seems like I've been saying that a lot. But wanted to kind of keep him around that pitch count and definitely 5 innings. Just with his workload since he's been back in the rotation. So just another outstanding effort, you know, just filling up the zone, locating well, and can't really say enough about how he finished up the season.
John, back to Bowden for a second. What does the org want to see from him in the winter?
A good offseason that we trust that he'll have. You know, he had a very, very good one last year, being down in our complex and getting ready to do a role like this. So I think, you know, taking a breather, taking a blow a little bit and catch your breath after what he did, and then continue to build off of what he's done. And that's the message to him, you know, and it's what he's expecting to do. And, you know, I think right now you don't have to get too cute with it. And he's in a pretty good spot. So you want him to take a little bit of time and then continue to build up for spring training and get ready to roll.
Well, there you go. That's John Schneider talking about the reason for taking Bowden Francis out. Probably won't make people happy, but again, John Schneider had reasons for doing it and stuck to those reasons. And again, it is September 24th and your team's 12 games out. I mean, given the way this season has gone, getting Bowden Francis through the year healthy probably counts as one of this team's successes. So
yeah, I would probably think that it's probably not John solely coming up with the idea of the pitch count and the innings limit and being careful with Bowden's last start. Like, I'm sure that's an organizational thing. You know, they're oozing khakis out of the pores of the organization. You don't think they got a little toe dipped in what's going on with, you know, dudes that's got 75 more innings than they've ever had in the big leagues?
I'm sure there's data there to support that. Sergio in Toronto, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, how's it going, Chris?
Well, you know, it's going.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was, you know, I'm a big Jays fan. I was at the game tonight. And, you know, after watching the season, yeah, it's disappointing. But so I was listening to Ross Atkins, and he's always saying, yeah, you know, we're looking to retool, right? We're not rebuilding, we're retooling. And in my mind, I'm like, how are we going to, like, to me, this feels like a rebuild because you got, what do you got? You got your prime bats, you got Springer, Bo, Vlad. I strongly believe if you want to put together a good hitting team, like a good hitting roster, you're going to need around six quality, really, like, really solid bats. So, like, during this offseason, what I think they should do, I think they should go get really good, like, really, really solid bats, and they need to revamp the whole bullpen up. Me personally, yeah, you keep Romano. I like Swanson, you know. I know what he went through this year. I understand. I believe he'll be better next season. You know, like, if I'm him, I go home, you know, to my son, you know, take care of things there. But I just want to hear, you know, what you guys have to say. Do you guys think it's like a retool or a rebuild?
Appreciate the call. I mean, look, as long as you have Vladdy and Bo and you're running a $230 million payroll and you've got, you know, Bassett, Barrios and Gossman locked up, I think it is a retool. I think, frankly, if they wanted to rebuild, they probably would have started doing that at the trade deadline. You know, I mean, solid. You know, they spent the last 2 years bringing in quote unquote solid bats, but they need guys that scare other teams. They need guys that can change games with one swing. You know, they don't need a Brandon Belt. They don't need a Justin Turner. They don't need a Kevin Kiermaier. You know, they need somebody of substance to come in here. We cannot have Spencer Horowitz or Alejandro Kirk hitting cleanup next year. You just can't. And you can't have George Springer hitting anywhere above six next year. You just can't. That's all there is to it. As far as the bullpen goes, you know, I was looking at the potential free agent list for relievers. I mean, other than Tanner Scott, I mean, there's not a lot of guys out there that scream, you know, Kenley Jansen, Hector Neris, Ryan Pressly. I'm just quickly running through these names. Carlos Estevez would probably be the guy out of the group, the closing for Philly right now. But I mean, other than that, there's a lot of Jimmy Garcias and, you know, Matt Moores and Brent Suter, I should say. I mean, there's a lot of guys. Jose Leclerc. You know, there are guys who've in the past had decent track records, but there's really nobody, I don't think, other than Tanner Scott, that screams, I want this guy pitching for me in the eighth or ninth inning, and I want to win a championship. Kirby Yates is also in there. You know, there's a bunch of Ryan Stanek and guys like that. But, I mean, I don't think there's a difference maker there. Put it this way, I don't think there's anybody better than a healthier Jordan Romano in that free agent class.
Yeah, I think you're making excuses.
Maybe a Stevens.
I think you need to get experience in here. I think you need to get him in the billion-dollar pitching lab in Florida and give him, you know, different usage of different kinds of pitches. And you need eighth and ninth inning guys who have experience and know how to get swing and miss when it matters the most, right? Like Burr came in and needed to get swing and miss and couldn't because he was lollipopping the slider. Like, that's what you can't have going into next season. The games you're supposed to win, you have to win.
That's why you're building that, Jeff. You're not going to teach Ryan Stanek a new pitch. You're not going to teach Carlos Estevez a new pitch.
Well, you got to pay for that. You got to pay for Ryan Stanek. That's the point, right?
Yeah, but you're not going to bring anybody established in here and then try to teach him a new pitch. You're going to bring in a bunch of guys. You're going to bring in guys who are like, you know, you're going to bring in Tommy Nances and guys like that and try to teach him a new pitch. Like, you're not. Ryan Stanek's not going to learn a new pitch in a pitching lab over the winter. He's just not.
Yeah, there's guys you could go out and get if you want to spend money and solidify the eighth and ninth inning. Again, eighth and ninth inning guys cost money.
In terms of free agency, there's not a lot of great arms out there.
I mean, now you have position players that are younger who have shown a little bit, and you know that now other teams have video on that you could trade to try and get an eighth and ninth inning guy.
Maybe.
Like, you could do these things. Get creative.
There's nothing
and
creative.
Figure out how to get eighth and ninth inning guys in
there. There's nothing creative about trading for relievers. There's nothing creative about trading for relievers.
We'll see.
I mean, I'm with you. I still think trading is the way this organization is going to, you know, if they want to just call this a retooling, it's going to have to be done through trades. I just don't see a lot of free agents out there that are going to help in pitching. Free agent hitters, yeah, there are guys out there that'll help them. But in terms of pitching, I don't see a guy out there who's better than a healthier Jordan Romano. That's all.
You're
Eric
a good
in
team.
Halifax, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, good evening, guys. Like the previous callers have said, I'm going to miss you guys. I mean, you guys are, like I said it before, and I'll say it again, you guys are awesome. Now, regarding Schneider and his buddies up there that sit in the offices, they made a decision last year when they pulled out Berrios, who was on his game, and they pulled the kid out again tonight. I mean, the kid was doing all right. If they're going to give the game to Boston, at least go down fighting. I mean, you know, to take that kid out there tonight, he might as well kick them while he was down. And, you know, like, I don't know. That team is their own worst enemy. The next four games, what they should do for the fans is bring the team from Buffalo and play, and those guys will at least give them a fighting chance. Those 4 million people they have in Toronto and metro area deserve a lot better than what they're getting. And like I was saying, I'll say it again, either let the fans in for free the next four games or bring the AA team from Buffalo and let them show what baseball's all about. Because tonight, when I watched it, I think the AA team could have beaten the Blue Jays. And I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Appreciate the call, Eric. Well, first of all, the AAA team is here. It's been here since the end of July for the most part. And Buffalo is a triple A team. It's not a double A team, just so that, you know, we're correct there. Kevin made this point and he's absolutely accurate. It was fun for a while. And, you know, fun's over. 'Cause as much fun as it's been, bottom line is they're still losing ball games. I mean, they're a little more exciting losses, but I'll ask you this. Since they brought all these guys up, now we've seen all the teams in the East now, including the two bottom feeders in the East for the most, well, the Jays are the bottom feeders, but the Red Sox and the Rays. So we've seen the Red Sox and the Rays up close with all these good, exciting young guys. Are the Jays any closer to the Rays or Red Sox now than they were in July? No. I mean, this team is more of a last place team now than it's been at any point this season. It's 73 and 85. They're 12 games under 500. they're more of a last place team now than they have been at any point in 2024. Like, you can't candy coat it. You can't put it any other way.
Okay, this is the first time and last time I'll do this to end the season. If they catch the two pop-ups, they give Cabrera the ball up 3-0. They win tonight. I don't think everybody should forget that. The defense had a little hand in what went on, too. I'm not saying that the pitching's any good and the hanging sliders and the mislocations and just the lack of being good, you know, didn't have something to do with it. But let's not lie about it. If they catch the two pop-ups, they hand the ball in the eighth inning to Cabrera up 3-0, and chances are they're winning that game.
Agreed, but, man, I'll tell you what. You know what happens when the ball's in play? When the ball's in play and you got a bunch of guys who are at AAA, doesn't always work out well. That's why swing and miss stuff. Oh, I mean, you can't there's nothing better than swing and miss stuff out of the back end of your bullpen. And to get that, you got to find somebody who throws harder than 91 or 92.
Costs you money.
It does. Let's leave the last word tonight to Bowden Francis, who made his final start of the year. And I would suggest that at the end of the year, when you ask Jays fans for your positives, Bowden Francis's emergence, along with Vladdy Guerrero's season, would probably be right there at the top among the top two. So we've talked a lot about the bullpen and the defense and the record in one-run games. Let's hear from a guy who can hold his head high this year and a guy who can leave the 2024 season feeling awfully good about himself. Let's hear from Bowden Francis.
I think just learning, you know. I came in the season and only starting in AAA, there's things you can get away with. And then I get my starts up here and, you know, I got pumbled, but I grew through that and I learned that I got to do more homework and I got to execute better and I got to adapt. So I just kind of went back to the drawing board and went back to the pen and just got my work done. But when I got back down to Buffalo, I just felt like I caught like a second wind and learned that this is the time to turn around.
That is Bowden Francis speaking about a terrific 2024 season for him, and he's a guy who's put himself in position to be a key player in 2025. 6-5, the Boston Red Sox have beaten the Toronto Blue Jays. Game 3 of this series goes tomorrow night. First pitches at 7:07. Blair and Barker will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and Sportsnet from 4 to 6 Eastern will be back after tomorrow's game as well with Blue Jays Talk. So, thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Bancroft and Haliburton, Ontario. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com. Canada's number one rust protection.